This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the Stress Management Channel. Make sure you connect with us on Facebook to receive the latest programming for your convenience simply at eHealth Radio. Today we are visiting with Dr. Cindy Akril, a leadership coach, wellness coach, consultant, and speaker addressing the intersection of health and performance. She is also a board member of the American Academy of Stress and is passionate about helping individuals and teams create cultures that support the best of human potential. Dr. Akril, certainly a privilege to have you a part of eHealth Radio.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. So tell us about stress management. Why is stress management so important?
So many reasons. From our general happiness, our health, our performance, all of them are affected by our unmanaged stress. And it has become so pervasive in our society and so mishandled that we just accept it, not realizing what it's really costing us. It's responsible for probably 75% or so of doctor's visits. A study in 2003 estimated that it cost about $300 billion to U.S. corporations in productivity, so it's a really important thing for us to address, not to mention that we would all be happier if we were less stressed.
Without a question. Why do you say that stress management is about energy management?
Well, if you think of our bodies as a system, managing energy is what our job is. We take in nutrients, we take in oxygen, and we run our cells. And stress, unfortunately, taps into that energy system. We're expending energy managing the stress that we don't have for health, that we don't have for brain power, that we don't have for happiness. And stress management really turns into energy management. Stress is part of life. You know, things happen to us, and our adaptability is our human condition. That's what we're supposed to do. But when we get too stressed, when there's more stress than we have the capacity to handle, the balance is off. So we're expending more energy than we're taking in, and then we start declining or becoming less efficient. So really, you can handle a lot of stuff in life as long as you're renewing your energy to be able to handle it.
What does stress do to our brain power?
Way, way too much. And when corporate America catches on to this, hopefully we can change it. Stress is a fabulous system. It's our stress management system internally is an amazing system. It's allowed us to evolve from not being eaten by the chasing wildebeest. It functions because we see some threat in our environment, whether it be a wildebeest or a nasty email in our inbox or a sneer by someone who matters to us. That triggers our stress reaction system in the body. And let me just say, stress isn't really what happens to us. It's our reaction to what happens to us. It is our perception of what's happening to us. It often doesn't meet our expectation of what should happen to us. So when we perceive that something's happening that's dangerous for us, it alerts the danger system. And the danger system starts in the brain with a little almond-shaped thing called the amygdala that sets off 1,400 chemical reactions in order to react to this threat. And it puts us into threat zone. And one of the things it does during that is shut down our thinking brain, our frontal lobes. And that's on purpose. The blood is redirected to our legs so we can run from whatever the beast is. And when you're running from the beast, it's not the time to be able to analyze an Excel spreadsheet. So the system makes sense to shut down the brain, but when we trigger that system day in and day out, we're losing our access to our best creativity and our best discernment, our best brain power. It's kind of hijacked by this constant barrage of stressors. Does that make sense?
It certainly does make sense to me. Today we are with Dr. Cindy Ackrill, a leadership coach, wellness coach, consultant, and speaker addressing the intersection of health and performance. She is also a board member of the American Academy of Stress and is passionate about helping individuals and teams create cultures that support the best of human potential here on eHealth Radio's Stress Management Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. What's a good model for thinking about stress?
After working with this for years, I've come up with a three-part model of thinking about what's actually occurring. There are things that happen to us, that whether they're external or they're internal, there's our stress load. And if you were to sit and make a list of everything that's stressing you that you're aware of, and there's others that you're probably not even aware of, like you forgot you haven't eaten or haven't had enough sleep, so you're not really aware of that, that's the stress load, the internal and external things that are impacting us and causing us to have something to react to. That's the first part. The second part is how we process that. Every impulse that comes into our brain, whether from the outside or the inside, gets labeled. Is it a threat or is it not a threat? How it gets labeled depends on our perception of it, sort of the context that it's put into or the story. What stresses me may not stress you. I have a good buddy who is stressed the minute he steps foot in New York City. I come alive in New York City. So it's my perception, my story about it, that tells me whether this is a stressor for me or not. So that's the second part of the model. There's the first part, what happens to us internally and externally. The second part, how we perceive it. And then the third part is our ability to react to it, our resilience, whether we're physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually nourished, energized, and fit to respond to it. So by having this three-part model, there's sort of three ways you can think about balancing back out so that you have enough energy to meet the needs of your system. The first one would be to reduce what's coming in. And when I do workshops with people, we work long and hard on deciding what belongs on your plate of life and what doesn't belong on your plate of life. How do you make those decisions? Then the second part would be, what are the stories you're telling yourself? What is your perception? How can you take something that you immediately react to as a stressor and reframe it and make it something that doesn't drain your energy? And then the third part is building up your resilience, being physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually fit, and having all of those energy renewing systems in place so that you can take on a lot. So by breaking it down into three parts, it lets people tease out where they may be losing their energy balance and where they have opportunities to just grab a little bit more energy so that they can keep on going.
What are our choices for better managing stress and energy?
Lots. One is to be, they actually all sort of focus on mindfulness, on making choice, stepping out of that reactive mode and into a proactive mode. And that applies to all three parts of the model, proactively deciding what belongs on your plate. One of the ways to do that is in making a list of everything that you have going on in your life, looking at that list and deciding, what if those things honor my values? What are in line with what I value in life? You can even go to the Covey part. What is important, Stephen Covey's work on, what is really important that belongs on my list? What are your strengths? What do you do well? Because we all operate better in a strength mode. So by being more mindful in your choices, we work with people on applying the D's to get things off their list. Either delete the things that aren't appropriate, defer them. You know, yes, I would really like to learn Spanish, but right now, leaving that on my list is just stressing me out. I'll learn Spanish in 5 years. Move it off to the someday maybe list. And delegate more. I work with a lot of high achievers who just don't delegate enough. Some of that's a control issue, and some of it is just habit, not getting in the habit of looking and thinking, you know, who could maybe even do this better than I do so that I have more time and energy to do what I do well, and everyone feels less stressed in that. So that's approaching the first part of it. The second part would be to really start to mindfully work on your perception. What are the stories you're telling yourself? I was working with a high level person in a corporation who was under amazing stress, and he was still zooming home and in the dark mowing his lawn because his father always mowed his own lawn and it had to be perfect. And he hadn't even really thought about why he was doing it. And if he didn't get it done, he felt guilty and incomplete. And after we talked for a while, he realized that, you know, this was all something he was doing through his story that he could let go of. He could hire somebody to do the lawn and free up that whole guilt trip. Because it's often not the thing itself that stresses us as much as it is all of our feelings around whatever that task is. Then the third part is building ourselves up, mindfully making sure we're taking care of ourselves. And this is not even remotely honored in our society or in our culture. We believe in just driving hard until we are really spent. And that's the basis for a lot of disease that goes on. Our bodies are amazing. Our bodies have these immune systems and these amazing ways to restore and renew and wander around and scavenge for possible cancer cells or things that are not hooked up right. And when our bodies have downtime, they do all that repair and they do all of the learning and the putting together to make the system run smoothly. So making sure we get those energy needs met so we can be at our best, so we have the resilience that we need.
Fantastic information. Where can our listeners find more information or to be in contact with you online?
My website is wellspark.com, WELLSPARK, helping you find your spark. And then there's a lot of information on the American Institute of Stress, which is stress.org. Has some fabulous information, whether you are looking for your own stress needs, you know, how do you manage it in your own life, or a lot of people who are employers looking to figure out, you know, what does this mean in my business? How can we work together as an organization to reduce the stress so that our productivity goes up? Because, it, you know, think of all those days that you're at work, but you're really just not, it's not flowing. You're not at your sharpest. You're not at your most creative. And what can you do as an individual, and what can you do as an organization to stop that brain drain so that you really are feeling your best?
And in conclusion, what one thing could you leave for us in form of a tip?
Oh, probably my best tip for anybody is stop and take a breath, the pause. When we take a breath, I've had a rather interesting background. I did a lot of neurofeedback, which is brainwave biofeedback training, and I had the privilege of seeing people's brainwaves in action as we were doing different things. And I learned firsthand from doing that if you just slow your breath down, you do amazing things to your body. If you bring your attention to your breath, which is both a voluntary and an involuntary system, hopefully you'll always breathe, but you have the capacity to actually pay attention to your breath and slow it down. And whenever you slow it down, you really calm down your brain waves. You actually can bring down the cortisol, which is the stress hormone, by doing that. So simple breath work can do amazing things. I didn't believe that when I went through Lamaze. I was wrong, but I did have it proven later on. So, Andrew Weil has a fabulous set of breath work where you breathe in to a count of four and you hold it for a count of seven and breathe out for a count of eight. So that four in has to be a nice deep belly breath, the bottom of your lungs, because your lungs are like bellows. You want to pull out the bottom of it and bring that breath way down to your belly and hold it for a count of seven and let it go for a count of eight. And just doing four to eight notes in a row is an amazing reset. It can calm nerves. It's just really, really a powerful stress management tool. And during that pause, it gives you the time to think a lot more mindfully about what you are doing and how you can do it to really serve your best interests as well as what you're doing.
Absolutely phenomenal information. I think I'll hit my reset button now. We've been talking with Dr. Cindy Akril, a leadership coach, wellness coach, consultant, and speaker addressing the intersection of health and performance. She is also a board member of the American Academy of Stress and is passionate about helping individuals and teams create cultures that support the best of human potential. And the website of reference, once again, is www.wellspark.com. Dr. Akril, thank you so much for joining us today on eHealth Radio.
Thank you very much for having me. Breathe well.
You got it. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the Stress Management Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. And we do thank you for listening. And until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.